This is the Tony D Show.
20 men I've put in harm's way, some of them fathers.
The entire legitimacy of your presidency depends on this.
Time now for Tony and Joe to recap this week's episode of Designated Survivor.
I seriously love doing this segment because it gets us into a little pop culture mode. We can have a little bit of fun. One of the problems, though, of a show like this is that it's very plot detailed. And I'm almost afraid, Joe, at times we may miss something that throws off our review.
We might need to start a separate Tony D. Joe George podcast right. For a full hour recap because
absolutely.
Sometimes 7 minutes is definitely not enough time.
And here's the other thing, too. We all know we're heading into the land of fiction, okay? And whenever you watch a TV show or a movie, you should always suspend reality a little bit. I used to be really annoying with my wife on this. We'd go to a movie, and I'd whisper her sometimes going, that couldn't possibly happen in real life. Or that doesn't make any sense. Why did they? When in reality, it's just plot devices just to keep things moving along. Okay, so that being said, okay, there are two things that bothered me about this episode. One, the FBI agent that's doing the research, the background on the vice president that's being confirmed, she seems to get around Washington, D.C. way too easily.
Yes.
Way too easily. She can get to her apartment. She can do 5 or 6 different interviews with people around the city all in an afternoon time, which everybody who's been anywhere near Washington, D.C. knows this is impossible.
See, that's one thing with major cities and television shows that they can never get right. It's a different television show, but I watch all three, and I'll watch the fourth of the Chicago series, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire.
Yeah, sure.
And where they're, like, specifically in Chicago Fire, where their jurisdiction is, they end up on the other side of Chicago, and it makes no sense, but they have to do that. That's my problem with big cities and television shows, is you can't accurately portray the struggles.
Yeah, you can't. It's just, traffic is way too much. You can't get anything done.
Yes.
If you look, never. So then the second part is, there's a plot in this, there's an angle in this storyline where a national security guy, he smuggles out a microchip out of a building. He then seeks asylum at the Venezuelan embassy, where there's no extradition. And there's a scene where Kiefer Sutherland says, "You mean he's right down the road and we can't get him?" Now, let me just say this. I think most of us know that, right? That if you seek asylum in an assembly without any extradition, if you're in the government, you know that. Like, you have to repeat that for the plot. You have to repeat that so that the people in your audience kind of understands the dilemma that you're in. But no government official would be massively surprised that somebody went to an embassy to seek asylum and you couldn't extradite him out of there. You kind of know that's what they do. So those were the two little things. Other than that, this was plot loaded, man.
Yeah.
Loaded.
It wasn't like last week I talked about how there was too many fires they were trying to put out.
Right.
And this week, I don't think we're there anymore. I think they've kind of have made it clear which ones are important now as we get ready for next week. But the show is just, it's so good, Tony.
It's cruising right along. Peter McLeish is going to be nominated, going to be confirmed as vice president. He's the only survivor of the Capitol bombing, but his story is not adding up to the FBI agent, Hannah Wells, who's doing more research. She's speaking to his army. I don't want to say buddies, but they were like his unit, right? That they went.
Yeah, they're his unit, but their stories match up.
All their stories match up that he returned fire on an enemy, saved a lot of lives. While they lost some lives, he was really a hero because he salvaged a mission where they were under attack and he returned fire. She finds out later that's not true, that there's actually an angle to his heroic story of him and his unit murdering a whole village of people after they got they were ambushed by the Taliban and they took revenge on a village and slaughtered a whole village. So he's actually a war criminal.
Yeah, and then the main guy who they're pinning against, who they think did the Capitol bombing, was part of his unit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then she found a picture of him with the Capitol bombing suspect on it. So now she knows that they're related. So what happens in most of these TV shows where somebody's got valuable information that they've just uncovered and they're racing to get it to the right people? What happens 99% of the time?
Car accident.
A well-orchestrated car accident to take them out. And that's exactly what happened here. As Agent Wells was cut off by a cab, and at that right moment, here comes a truck, boom, smashes into her car. I think she survives because I think I saw her in the upcoming previews.
Yes,
next week's
and
episode.
That's a problem for me because I love The Walking Dead. I love major shows. But, like, Like major shows that happen during football hours, I try to typically avoid. But you get spoilers, so you have to make a decision. This show spoiled itself.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to happen. Don't... If my show gets spoiled, it's supposed to be on Twitter by some idiot. Not in the preview that she's totally fine running around in the next episode. Like, you could have just told me that and you didn't have to tell me now. I didn't like that at all.
If you're the terrorist organization and you orchestrate getting a car in front of her so then you can ram another car into her, don't you think you should be able to kill her? Like, you would know exactly what you needed to do to kill her? Like, if she's running around after a car accident, you didn't do a very good job of planning that out.
Well, I don't know if they were trying to kill her because she was going to the Senate, I think. Or
yeah, she was trying to hold up the confirmation hearings because she now knows the guy's a war criminal.
Yeah, but now she's not going to make it there on time.
Now, the other scary part of this was when he meets with the guy who took out the little microchip. All the guy wanted to do was get the information to the president. He's willing to go to jail for the rest of his life for a security breach because his daughter died in the Capitol bombing, so he's fighting for a larger cause. He tells President Kirkman that he's a man of honor and knows all of his text messages and all of his emails and everything he's ever done digitally. And that makes me never want to work in government again.
Yes.
Ever in my life. He said to him, every fourth text you've ever sent was to your children. Oh, my God.
All right. But here's the real question. Now, we've got a week to decide, and I'm sure we're going to get a cliffhanger. So really, this question will be asked again next week of you, Tony. But in the preview, we see someone's getting shot.
Yes.
Who is it?
I don't know.
I think it's Kirkman's wife.
Yeah, I could see that. By the way, Emily, the aide that was going to get fired or resign, she's hot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy cow, she's hot. I was like, I just want to make sure. I mean, I'm older married guy, but I'm like, wow, she really is attractive. That's a nice White House office they've got there. All right, coming up next, we'll talk some baseball, ESPN Nation Radio.